It is a wonderful blessing, as always, to be able to bring forth a portion of God's Word, as is, I guess, my habit or custom. Some might say I like to start out my sermons by saying this, that it's important that you realize that you do not come here to just hear me talk or flap my gums or say some sort of, you know, self-help speech, but you came to hear the Word of God, and that's what matters. We all should look at ourselves and ask, are we willing to hear the words of God? And not only that, but move into the capacity of applying those things that we read about from the Word of God. If you would like to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 and 16 is where our sermon will take place. It is noticeable sometimes, though, when people are gone, like Tom. I know this is on the recording, so I don't want to say this, but you miss people when they're not here. And Tom being gone and George and Joy, it's a unique thing to be able to be a part of a spiritual family and knowing those who aren't here. And some that have moved on, I think of Ben and Carla, and now we have Brother Couch and their family getting ready to leave, if not having left. And of course, we just think about those situations and it pulls at our heartstrings a little bit, but it's wonderful to know that when we remain faithful, there's a place in heaven where we can be reunited. So we're thankful for God for that. But Ephesians chapter 5, we'll be looking at verses 15 and 16 and looking to make application from what we read from the Word of God. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. There's so much that can be gleaned from Scripture in general, but this specific verse in passage 15 and 16 has a lot there. And it's amazing the power that is written in the gospel and the Word of God that we can pull and understand that it gives us the encouragement, it gives us the direction, and it corrects us in certain areas that we may need to change in our lives. And that word circumspectly, who uses that in the vocabulary? I'm just curious. No one? Yeah, it's a word that maybe we don't throw around very often. And really the only time we probably think about it or hear about it is when the preacher or our independent Bible study, we stumble upon this verse and we see that word. So whenever we are in our studies or reading from the Word of God and we come across a word we may not know, it's a good habit or a good idea to look at what that word means, to define the terms, to define the word that's being used so that we can better understand what is being said, what is being asked of us, and how we might apply it. Now, let me clear up to the fact that I'm not saying that you have to know and speak Greek or the original language to understand the clear, plain teachings that we read about in the gospel or in the Bible. But there is a benefit to understanding certain words a little more deeply. So whenever we read a word, again, it is good to define it. So circumspectly, according to the Strong's Concordance, means to be diligent. And when we take the root word, it means to be most straightest. You know, God has never authorized his people, nor has he asked his people to be crooked, to be half-hearted, or to be misaligned. God has always called his people to walk on his narrow path, and that is the straight way. The most straight way, the only straight way. And that straight way comes from the Word of God. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 16, Paul is reminding them in the church of this idea that we are not to be associated or a part of this crooked and perverse generation. The expectation from God is that we walk circumspectly. So let's consider what Paul has written to them in Philippi in chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. You know, when we look at ourselves individually as Christians, we must ask ourselves, are we aligned with the will of God? Are we aligned with the will of the world? That is something that we have to evaluate in our lives. And friends, there's a simple way to know that. It's opening our Bibles and studying and seeing which way God has authorized and seeing which way I'm walking. That'll help you understand where you are in your relationship with God. There has to be a clear distinction between those who are Christians and those who are not. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 40 and 41, Peter makes this point as well, to give the fact that we are not to be crooked or walking in lockstep with the perverse generation, but to rejoice in the word and understand that what we have is a blessing from God. Let's consider Acts chapter 2, 40 and 41. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. How were they saved? Then those who gladly received the word, they took the information and ingested it into their souls and obeyed. How? They were, though, and received his word, were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. Friends, it's clear that when we want to walk in the way of the Lord, we will obey the things that he's asked from us. We will do the things that we read about in Scripture. Not trying to find some sort of spiritual loophole and say, well, this thing or that thing, or this is hard to understand. But we will open our hearts and open our minds, receiving the word, taking in the information, and apply it logically. Friends, it's no different than when we're learning principles in school. We understand that there's a certain way that a sentence is to be structured, and we can't just change it. Otherwise, we won't have clear communication. We understand in mathematics that there are simple rules to follow so that we can progress our ability to learn, and you can't change it. Otherwise, the equation is inaccurate. And yet, for some reason, when it comes to the Word of God, we'll find ourselves just inserting these weird and strange ideas foreign to Scripture, all because we don't want to submit to his authority. But friends, when we do that, we align ourselves with the crooked and perverse generation. We also can recognize from this verse in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15 that it's an active phrase. It's not a passive one, or one that allows us to sit back and be idle. Consider what he says, beginning in verse 15. See that you walk. This is a call to action. Not to be asleep, not a call to be idle, but a call to walk. But also walk and not run as if you have no control over yourself. That you're just running from here, chasing after everything that's available, but you're walking in the way of the Lord. But nor is it a call to just crawl. It is a consistent message to walk in the way of the Lord, to continuously grow in your relationship with him. Remember, we are called to be active in our faith, not to sit back and be idle and think that we can just sit in our homes and be acceptable and pleasing to God, but we are to be open in our conversation with people and challenging ourselves to grow in the way that God would have us to, because growth is necessary. Consider what Paul had to write to them in Philippi again in chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 13, verses 13 through 16, Paul is saying this idea of walking and progressing in your spiritual journey is necessary, and listen to how he words it in Philippians chapter 3. Beginning in verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Watch this. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, because of these things, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if any of you, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this, even this, to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already obtained, watch this, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. Let us be in unity in walking in the way that God would have us to. But there's an interesting note, and maybe a side note that you can study on your own, but just make this point. Think about Paul's statement of, I do not count myself to have apprehended, as if I have already obtained something. What is he talking about? He's talking about the prize. Too many in this world today may think that they have their ticket punched to heaven, and therefore I'm going to do nothing. I've obeyed at one point, and so because of that, I'm going to just sit back, or I'm going to do some other things, because you know what? I've already got it made. Friends, if Paul didn't think he had it made and knew that there was more work he could be doing, how ought we to think of it? Friends, there's always something we can be doing for the Lord. There's always something we can be doing in our lives to make sure that we're walking in the way that God would have us to. And the point that he's made here in Ephesians chapter 5 is, see then that you walk. What does that imply? It implies that we can see the things that we're doing and that it is active and visible. See that you. There's an emphasis on looking at ourselves and asking the important question, is the direction that I'm heading on this journey the way that God would have me to head? Or am I trying to find another way? But the focus, too, is on self. It's very easy to start looking at other people and start trying to judge your relationship or your walk with God based on, well, at least I show up Sunday morning and Sunday night. And guess what? I even make Wednesdays. And make that the focal point of your relationship. I'm not minimizing what the Lord's Day is and the midweek Bible study. But I'm saying, are we consistently growing in our individual relationship with God? Is it visible? Can we look back at our walk with God and say, okay, yes, 10 years ago I was just silly. However, I've made changes. I've made steps. Friends, if that question was asked in your work life, and you're like, well, you know what? No, I've been here 10 years, and I'm exactly where I was 10 years ago. There might be a problem there. Or what about someone in school? Okay, yeah, I know I'm in this grade, 10th grade. We'll just stick with the number 10. But I'm only learning at a first grade ability. There would be a problem there. We would recognize that. But yet, for some reason, when it comes to our spiritual walk with God, we think that, you know what, I'm just going to wing it and hope for the best. Friends, that's not what God asked of us. He asked for us to see that we individually are taking the steps necessary to walk in accordance with his will, looking at ourselves first. Stop being distracted by trying to look around and think like, well, I'm better than this person. Because look what happens. Matthew chapter 15, 12 through 14. So busy looking around at other people, trying to figure out where we line up or how we measure up to others, we end up becoming blind. And what happens with the blind? Matthew 15, 12 through 14. Then his disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? Watch Jesus' answer here. But Jesus answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Friends, are we following after man's wisdom? Are we following after our own pattern, our own devices, our own thoughts? If so, we're blind. And the outcome of that is to fall into a ditch, to separate ourselves from the love of God. There's no scarier place to be than separated from God. We are to make sure that we are on the straightest path. And that path is paved by Jesus Christ our Lord. We want to know if we're walking down the right path. Here are just some simple questions for us to consider. Asking the question, are we seeing ourselves walking circumspectly, meaning walking down that straight path with Christ? Here's a question. How's your prayer life? Here's another question. How often do you study? I mean, we're going to talk about, we'll have our beautiful sayings in our home pantries. You know, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. We see, we have above the nursery there, the I can do all things through Christ Jesus which strengthens me. We'll have that bumper sticker. And yet the Bible just sits there in our own homes. You want to ask these questions of, is it visible that my relationship with God is growing and active and walking in a way that's pleasing to Him? How often do you look to serve rather than be served? How often? And these are challenging ideas for ourselves to consider. However, what did Jesus do? Laid aside His privileges to die for you. To die for me. To die for a broken world. Friends, that's humbling. We want to make sure we're aligned with the Word of God. We got to be in it. We've got to ask ourselves, are our prayers done with the right motives and intentions? Not for selfish reasons. Is it okay to pray for things? Absolutely. But why are we doing it? Where is our heart? What are we teaching our children? I'm always harping on that, probably because I've got, you know, four girls and they drive me bananas, especially when they're going to get older and I see these young boys. But I got to ask myself, am I leading by example? And the only way I'm going to set the right example is to be in the Word of God. Otherwise, I'm the blind leading the blind. See that you walk circumspectly. Again, just a few questions to ask yourself. We also see that the pattern is consistent of walking throughout Scripture. And there's two ways that you can walk. We said there's a clear distinction between those who walk after the world and those who walk after Christ. And a beautiful example of this is found in Galatians chapter 5. We're familiar with these scriptures, but it's always good, even to be familiar with them, to keep digging in them. Keep reading them. Friends, the Pharisees could quote scripture. Meant nothing. The scribes, Sadducees. We can quote scripture all day. And it's a good thing to quote scripture, but we need to understand and apply these things. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16, Paul says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these things are contrary to each other, to one another. They are opposed to one another. There's no fence straddling here. There's no grating on a curb. Oil and water, they're separate. So that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The ultimate measuring stick is not ourselves, but the Word of God. We can easily find the distinction between those who are willing to walk after the world versus those who are willing to walk after the world, the Word. by how they conduct themselves. How do we act in situations? How do we respond to trials and struggles and things that might look as if they're bad outcomes for us? Do we get negative and bitter, throwing temper tantrums? Or do we understand that we have an opportunity in these situations to be the light and to show that, you know what, we're hitting some bumps in the road, and Brother Bill, I appreciate you so much for being here and the difficulties that you've gone through, and yet you're still here and active and being willing to engage in conversation. What an example. And some people can't even get up. So some people don't even think about the Word of God. Are we walking in the light? Or are we walking in the world? Are we walking after the way God would have us to? Are we walking after the way the flesh and the desires of our own hearts would be? But look at this in Galatians chapter 5, continuing on here, picking up in verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident. If it's evident that you can be a light, it's also evident that you can look as if you're walking after the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will be able to go to Jesus, and Jesus will say, I accept everything you do. Just keep living this life and live however you want to, and you're okay, I'm okay, everything's going to be fine. Friends, I'm sorry, but that's not how the Word of God reads. Amen. Who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. See that you walk circumspectly. Why? Because we see the opposite of that found in this same set of scripture. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. You won't be condemned for following Jesus. Romans chapter 8. Following Jesus is where eternal joy is. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. It's interesting how this chapter, and chapter divisions, I get that, I'm not, but how this chapter ends. The pattern has not changed over time or with human inventions. It's consistent throughout. But considering how it ends with not to become conceited. Think about that for a moment. Why is that in there? How often have you found yourself, maybe in a discussion, where you start to realize that you're winning the argument, and all of a sudden, start to puff up a little bit, right? I'm backing this individual in a corner. You don't become upright so that the only thing that ends up is your nose up. And that's what we see sometimes in Christianity. I've got all the answers. Look at me. No, we humble ourselves in the Word of God. Remember that we are to have self-control. We are to be gentle. We are to be long-suffering. Not to be self-righteous. Because pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 16 and verse 18. So we've looked at what it means to walk circumspectly, and now we'll look into why. Why are we to walk circumspectly? Because it shows us how to be wise and not foolish. We see that we can walk in the way that God would have us to, and it leads us and gives us the direction to be wise, not to be foolish. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, Paul gives an example of sometimes what I think our mentality is, as I mentioned earlier in this sermon. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, listen to what Paul writes here. For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. Watch this. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. A lot of that going on. There's such an important principle here. Stop looking at others to judge your relationship with God. Ask yourself, where are you in your walk with God? Your mom did not die for you so you could be saved. Your friends did not die. Your spouse or some good person or someone maybe you care about really deeply. Jesus did. Jesus died for you so that you could be saved. That understanding produces the wisdom that is from above. Understanding that. In James chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, we understand there's a process here that takes place. That we read, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. How are we going to gain wisdom? We need to ask God and find his answers through his word. Amen. That's where the wisdom comes from. Not some man with a fancy title. Not some person who's trying to peddle some self-help book. But from the pure milk, which is the Word of God. The way to be wise is to be in lockstep with God. How do you know if you're in lockstep with God? I sound like a broken record sometimes. You know you're in lockstep with God by being in His Word. And it's at our fingertips. Paul is saying that it's foolish to walk in a crooked way when you have tasted the pure waters. Walk in a way that God would have us to be. We are reminded also at the end of this verse in Ephesians chapter 5 that we are to redeem the time, for the days are evil. Far too often we are busy making worldly plans and we forget what our true purpose is. To worship God. To praise Him. To bring glory to Him. Remember, we talked about seeing that you walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but wise. Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. A pattern of this, or an example of this, is found in James chapter 4. We've read this before, but it's always a good reminder to ask ourselves, to internalize this situation and see, are we in this spot? And if we are, how will we respond to it? How will we react to it? James chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. But now you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. This warning serves as a forceful reminder for us to redeem the time, because we are not in control of what happens tomorrow. Amen. We do not know. So what are you doing now? And in reality, what are you doing now for God? Where does God fit into your priorities? Yes, we can make plans and have goals. That's not what's being said here, that we can't do those things. But the issue is that we put God on the back burner when making those plans. If the Lord wills. Life is too short to be filled with chasing worldly things. We are to understand that we must first walk circumspectly. And then we become wise. And from there we understand how important and crucial it is to redeeming the time because of what is at stake. Our eternal salvation. It's not an emotional plea. I'm not here just trying to deliver some mic drop moment. All I want to do for myself is make sure that I'm living the way that God would have me to live. The question that I have is that your mindset as well? If you then were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Colossians chapter 3, 1 through 4. What a beautiful promise that remains and is available for all those who will walk circumspectly in the way of the Lord. Our aim is to be heaven, and that is made possible by setting our hearts and our minds on a heavenly trajectory. For when we obeyed the gospel plan of salvation, we made that commitment to follow Jesus. Friends, let us never forget to redeem the time, for the days are evil. If there's anything that we can do for you this morning, please let it be known as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.